it's expanded. Like, I completed the Firefly, added this whole shelf for all the kits because it outgrew my, you know, space. But, like, the weird cloud buster sword and Nerf gun crossing thing was here. It's just been expanding over time. But, yeah, I would just take a second look around. There's shit.
Yeah, it reminds me of... I was trying to contemplate whether I should get the special edition of this new God of War.
Oh, yeah.
Because so many special editions have burned me in my life.
The Witcher special edition I did not get. I actually bought... I love the statue so much.
Yeah.
I thought I had bought it from Amazon, and I didn't, like, get sold out.
Are you recording this?
Yeah, it's all.
Okay.
Something recording.
We'll make sure we were, because...
Yeah. That was that was a surprisingly cheap Skyrim special edition, and I really did not like the game, but the dragon's pretty badass, and it's like a licensed weapon in three states. It's very sharp.
Yeah, the number one special edition I've ever bought, it was the first God of War, maybe God of War 3. It came with sort of Pandora's box.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Still have it. It's so fragile. Like, there's like demon horns that curl around.
Is there anything in it?
At the moment, no.
But is it open?
Yeah, it's openable.
Okay. But is it like, are you afraid to open it because it's Pandora's box? It's a legitimate worry.
I was trying to figure out what I could store in there and if it had any secret components. So I opened it right away and really dove in. I'm like, if this has a secret compartment.
Oh, so all the evils of the world. Thanks, Matt.
What can I hide in there? That was the question. What should I hide in there?
And what did you hide in there?
At the moment, nothing. I don't know.
That he's admitting to.
Nothing I'm admitting to.
Your shame, your... Yeah.
But that's my number one special edition. And now a new God of War is coming out, so I'm like, oh, maybe in tribute to that one I should get it, because it also is a kind of a cool-looking statue.
Did you have a God of War tattoo?
Nope.
Thinking of someone else.
Legacy of Kain
and
Metal Gear Solid 3.
That's right.
You have a Legacy of Kain tattoo?
Yeah, the Soul Reaver.
Oh.
From the first... Second game?
Second game.
Was it in the first... It wasn't the first game, I think.
I never played any.
My God, it's been such a long time.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that game the other day.
Really?
The original one.
That was a PS1 game?
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was...
It feels like it. It's got slowdown like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, slowdown. I remember slowdown.
It's wonderful, though.
Yeah, you're talking about the first one, which was like a kind of a top-down...
Blood Omen, Legacy of Kain.
Yeah, Blood Omen, yep. Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are...
That's Michael Smith, and you are...
And Michael Crossi, and joining us is...
Matthew H. Quinn.
Yeah, sure.
Put the H in there.
Yeah, it
I
works.
Don't usually, but sometimes I do.
Oh, we're
special back. Occasions, the 38.
Special editions.
This is both. This is certainly both of those.
Yeah. So this is episode 2 of what I have just this moment decided to dub our guest fest. It's going to have a fuck ton of guest episodes of the podcast to get us to episode 100. Spike, I'm out of ideas until our 100th episode. You got any ideas left at this point?
Guests are the best thing we can have.
The best guest fest.
There, having guests is certainly all of our best episodes are the ones with the guests.
I still think, and I still give people pee drinking erudite cavemen as our like go to host episode where we didn't have anyone on it. But that was like 30 episodes ago, so it's too little too late.
That would explain a lot because we don't have very many guests on our episodes of our podcasts.
Which one? Because you have like 15 of them.
Yeah. Well, we're down to really only 2 that I do at the moment.
Are you doing them? Are you recording 2 other podcasts right now?
Yeah. This audio is being spliced 3 different ways.
Wow. Damn.
How you get the most bang for your buck.
The licensing is a little complicated.
Record one and split it 3 ways. Just retitle it. That's the easiest way.
Right. And now it's fill in your name here. So you have two podcasts currently.
Yes.
They are
the Phoenix Down podcast.
Okay. PhoenixDown.com?
No, it's through ZTGD.
Okay.
.com. It's kind of a, you know, Phoenix Down's resurrecting old games, so it's a bit of a game club.
Hmm.
Kind of a follow-up to a podcast that my co-host and I, Drew, did years and years ago. That came to consume almost my whole life.
Ooh.
And I was okay with that right up until I had to graduate, and then I could not write a thesis and spend what was many, many hours, maybe 10, 15 hours a week.
Because you had to play games.
Yeah, well...
Well, that seems like a really easy decision to me. You can use a thesis anytime later, you know.
Yeah, it was playing the game, but it was more than that, too. It was, you know, figuring out how to record a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It was figuring out how to Photoshop pictures, which I don't think I ever did figure out how to do successfully.
I figured it out, but not well.
Yeah. So maybe we're in the same boat.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just figuring out how to make a website, continue to update a website. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff was new to me at the time. So
how long ago was it?
About 10 years ago.
Yeah, things have come along since. It's gotten easier.
So yeah.
There's a lot more podcast, you know, production channels and stuff like that.
I don't think we're using anything more advanced or really that different. We just kind of recommitted and, you know, Drew kind of takes the lead for this one. So it's not quite as in-depth. We don't edit it quite as much. It's a bit more natural. There's not as much Photoshopping. So all that's a bit quicker.
Like, how many images would you... You know a podcast is just audio, right?
Could be just audio, or it could be so much more.
Well, then it's a...
You got to think outside the pod.
Then it's a vlogcast? Or...
No, some of them were truly awful. Some of the worst any media I've ever produced in my life were some of those pictures for those podcasts. There was one, I don't think you ever met him, at a buddy named J.K.
Rawling?
We took a picture of a group of five or six people and photoshopped his face onto every one of their faces.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I had no way to blend. I didn't know what I was doing. And so it looks like about a 4-year-old scribble. And you're, oh yeah, that's great. Clearly that's that's a supper, or that's a dog, or it could be a pile of puke. I don't know. That's essentially what my photoshopping skills were like at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And still.
They've automated a lot, too. Like, the more recent cloud-based Photoshop. I'm like, Like, the last episode, my father-in-law was on. I was handed, like, a yellowed picture of him in the 70s. Mm. I'm looking at it, like, this picture looks like shit. And I just, like, scanned it with a high-res scanner, and then I did, like, auto-enhance, and it, like, fixed everything.
Enhance.
Like, enhance. Enhance. Back and to the left. I was like, holy shit. Okay, well, Photoshop, thanks, because I look like a Photoshop hero now. So, you... And I have a sort of weird...
Sorted weird history.
There's sort of a doppelganger-ish thing with our interests.
Yeah. And missed... I feel like it's one of those missed opportunities.
It's very much like Lady Hawking, which you now get the reference of.
Yes, I do.
Ships in the Night thing. Or as I'm probably going to title this episode, The Bromance That Was Never Meant to Be.
Huh.
But before, now that I've dropped that nugget, Smike, this drink is delicious. Would you like to talk about it?
What are we drinking?
Well, I'm glad you like it, Mike. And I kind of knew you would.
You don't?
No, it's... I think you like it more than anyone else.
Yeah, because it has Habano Siciliano, which I cannot say without my hand going
up. The backstory of this is that for Mike and Erica's birthday, we took them out to a very nice restaurant called Good Luck.
Highly recommend.
Plugging Good Luck. It was great. I tried to go there. I'd like stop by a couple of times. No, maybe once or twice. And it was so loud inside. I was like, this is a little creepy.
Yeah.
But that was like the bar area. But we had a table. It was nice. And
we asked for a quiet table.
It was actually fairly quiet. And then when they got us over by the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all a great experience, great food. They do kind of a...
They do a family style. So like you ordered the burger. It's for the table. So the burger...
What size burger are we talking about?
So it would
about
be about this big, like about the size of a head. But they cut it and then like serve it in wedges.
I know.
Like a pizza.
Like, you never thought that you could cut a hamburger. It's crazy.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, for me it's eat it in one go, because if you set it down it falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's so big it needs to be cut once in half. And then it's two whole sandwiches.
Right, but then it's sort of weird in the middle because it got compressed and the bread gets...
Yeah.
But it's deconstructed, so the cheese is on the side, and the fries, and all that.
So anyway, sounds lazy.
The food is good, the drinks were good.
They just made a big burger once, and it stuck.
At the end of it, we happened to notice on the menu that they had, like, all these different liqueurs and aperitifs.
And they had a flight.
Yeah, and you could get a flight of three of them. We're like, oh, sure. Because, you know, we're kind of drunk.
Right. And they were paying, so we're like, I'm whatever. I'm just an asshole. So of course, I shout, I want a Verna Siciliano, which was one of them.
You, not knowing what it was.
No, we had no clue.
No clue.
I mean, it was clearly Sicilian, and it was
one of the other ones was extreme ginger, which was pretty self-explanatory.
There was no surprises. It
lived
with that
up
one.
To the name. Yeah.
It was extreme.
It was extreme, and it was ginger.
And what, the other one was
the one Erica picked, thinking it sounded like a safe choice, was the Leopold Brothers, and Leopold Brothers liqueur. Like, it was something really.
Yeah, like, it sounded super fancy
and safe.
And it actually was very interesting. So you kind of knew, you had an idea about what it was when it came out.
As soon as it came out, it was red, and I'm like, and I kept saying cassis. Mm-hmm. Which is a purple berry sweet liqueur, and I was saying the wrong thing. It was Campari based. Thank you. I know I told you the story already, yep. Matt, but you're very attentively listening for the audience at home. Uh-huh. You're their stand-in, uh-huh. Their proxy.
Lay it on me.
So, see, I'm like, it's. I was trying to say Campari, and the thing about Campari, if you know Campari, is traditionally it got its red color from beetle shells, and it tasted like Campari. So I'm like, this tastes like Campari. Since Mike had to look it up, and we discovered, oh, Campari doesn't use beetle shells anymore, but Leopold Brothers does. And Erica was not a fan of it. Not a fan of Leopold.
It was super bitter, and I think you're the only one who really enjoyed it.
I love bitter. Yeah. So I was high in the hog. I don't know what that is.
And this was the most popular The ginger one was really good, too.
Yes.
This was also, everybody at the table seemed to like this one.
As long as it wasn't beetle shells, it was okay. It was beetle shells. That's the baseline.
The bar might have been a little low at that point.
Yeah, and we might have been a little drunk, too. So those two things combined made Captain Planet. Yeah, and then, so what else is in it?
So this it's that. It's the...
Averna Siciliana.
Thank you. And some rye whiskey. Two parts rye to one part...
Averna Siciliana. I can't not do this.
And a little bit of bitters and a cherry. And wow. This is a Black Manhattan. That's the actual official name of it.
And not racist.
Yeah, it's not racist. It's just a very dark in color. It's very dark in color.
Black Panther.
Yeah. And I figured you would like it, Mike, because you were a big fan of the...
Averna Siciliana.
And it is a very bitter drink.
Yeah.
It's a very bitter Manhattan.
It's a bitter pill to swallow. Yes. And then since Matt is my sort of doppelganger, but you don't actually like bitter that much.
I do like bitter.
Oh, just not.
And I've been real big into whiskey drinks.
Oh, well, fucking, of lately. Course you are. Because I've been real big into whiskey drinks.
But this is a super, super, super simple drink to make. Mm-hmm. Just a couple of ingredients. And, you know, I love being lazy when I make drinks, so...
So less time making, more time drinking.
Yes, exactly. Yep, let's toast to that.
Uh-huh.
Cheers.
Salud.
Lazy making drinks.
It's almost lazy Sunday.
I tend to go the opposite direction with my drinks. I make like very complicated, like I have to make an infused simple syrup hours beforehand. But the tea was a big hit. And that,
it was. That was
like
was
an
delicious.
Entire day of
amazing.
Like make, chill, infuse, chill.
That was wonderful.
So funny story about Lazy Sunday. My mother's did you ever see the response to the West Coast response to Lazy Sunday? The color,
I don't think so.
Color Me Mine.
No, I don't think so.
Paul Provenza was one of the two comedians who did that. He's pretty well known in the like the stand up world. He's my mother's cousin. So I was like, my second cousin or whatever the fuck it is to me did the response to Lazy Sunday. And no one's ever impressed by that. That's the takeaway. They're like, oh, have you met him?
I didn't know that.
No. Dusting off my shoulder, you know, yeah. No big deal.
No big deal.
This is who I am.
I don't mean to brag, guys, but the cousin of my mother, who I've never met, did the response to the
You've never mentioned that. And I'm like one of the handful of people who would actually get the reference. So
yeah. Yeah, one of the two guys. He also did the Dirty Joke movie. Not the Gentleman.
Yes.
He was the one who was going around. Getting everyone to tell that joke. You know about that?
Not the producer. No, it's the something. The Aristocrats.
The Aristocrats.
The Aristocrats.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like that comedy documentary thing. Yeah, yep. It was his movie.
Oh.
Yeah, he's been
cool.
Around.
Like, yeah.
Never met him. Seems like a chill guy. So, okay.
So this is delicious.
Yeah, this is delicious.
I'm glad you guys like it.
So, Matt, you and I have oddly similar taste in most things.
Oddly similar features, too.
Okay,
I'm just going to throw that
features.
Out.
I'm glad you said that, because I
I think you just mean the beard.
Yeah, and we're both on the shorter
beard-ish.
Side. And
yeah.
Beard-ish. What do you mean?
I mean, if Mike's haircut were a little shorter, too, it's...
This Mike's not the only one to say this.
Yeah.
When I say doppelganger, I actually did mean that. It doesn't matter which direction.
I mean,
physical.
I can clearly tell you apart. No...
Do you know who I am?
Oh, wait, let's switch chairs really quick. It's Mike. Who am I?
Damn it.
M. Your name starts with an M.
I am. But yeah, there are some, there are certainly some similarities.
Yeah.
Physical wise.
Look, if you were just swiping through, you know, Tinder profiles, would you be able to tell?
I mean, two rights, obviously.
High five, bro. Yeah. But so you were friends of friends of mine and Erica's, weirdly, so we both yeah. have connections to you, which yeah. also makes it strange. And you always someone was like, oh, he's cool, and I could tell from the random conversations we would have at parties, like we have similar tastes and stuff. We should be friends.
And when I snooped on your bookshelves, that was when I knew.
Oh, that was when I knew. Yeah, that's right. That was at our house, at my yeah. house. Okay, that was.
There were sheets also hiding the books. And I was like, what's behind right. sheet number one?
I used to be so paranoid about people taking my stuff at these, like, big oh. Camino parties. I used to put sheets over the bookshelves, which is only going to draw, obviously.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm like, oh, what's hiding mine here?
So do you also own everything by Mike Mignola?
I do not.
Oh. Well.
I got all the Hellboys. I mean, the trades. I have the right Hand of Doom over there on the shelf. You've read all Sandman and stuff like that, right?
I've read about half of Sandman. In my life, sure. I would say in the last 10 years, there are so many things I've started and so few things I've finished
yeah.
in my life.
I feel you.
Even just listening to, you know, all of your wonderful episodes before this.
That's okay. You know, it's okay.
I've listened to many of them. I've not finished most of them.
Note to self, put all the good shit in the beginning.
Netflix shows that are referenced. Mm-hmm. Yes, I love the idea of Altered Carbon. I've seen the first two episodes. They're good. What do I do beyond that? I can't be part of that conversation.
Is that so? What do you think is the reason behind that? Do you get distracted? Do you lose interest? Do you think
no,
you get
it's, back to it? It's not losing interest at all. Things have changed for me work-wise lately, so I work a lot more, and I travel a lot more.
Oh,
so
I feel you, brother.
I get real excited about something. I start it, and then I leave for a week, and then something else has come out, and, you know, Netflix's new plan for 700 things recorded yeah. this year.
Now,
what was the last thing you actually finished all the way through? Series or video game or book series?
Legacy of Kain.
I'm deep in the... Yeah, 15 years ago? No, I'm deep in the middle, so I get a lot of audiobook time because of travel and because of riding to work and, mm-hmm. you know, obviously the couple of times I go to the gym a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm deep into the Millennium trilogy.
I've heard of it.
So the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm
sort of midway through book three, and I've been trucking through that for a while, audiobook-wise.
So mm-hmm. he can't actually come up with something he's finished, just something he's close to finishing.
Close to finishing. Now, if I get derailed in the next week, who knows?
Shit. Now, I just want to, I feel like I have to throw this out there. When you travel, you know that Netflix comes with you.
Yes, and you can now download for those plane rides, that's which is right. absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Not everything, but many things. I'm just throwing that out.
Obviously,
there.
I burned through Stranger Things without mm-hmm. any interruptions. That okay, was wonderful.
So you finished Stranger Things?
Yes.
Okay.
And it was wonderful.
There we go. The second season.
Also the second season.
Which is legally called Stranger Things 2. No, it is. It is not Stranger Things Season 2. It is Stranger Things 2, according to Netflix.
The sequel.
I don't know why they did that.
But I actually, you know, it was really hard. I started building a SharePoint site for work. Not that I want to spend time talking about work, but
well, you could talk to us about it. It's fine.
I was in the midst of my Stranger Things binge, loving it, and I decided I needed to find just the two from Stranger Things 2 so I could use it as a backdrop on a SharePoint website.
Well, there's a generator.
It's shockingly hard for me to just find the two, though, just by Google searching. It's almost always two with the Stranger Things logo in front of it.
There's a wallpaper generator where I think you could just type the letter in the number two.
And it doesn't that font?
Yeah, because I used to have it work. So when I was doing online training, I would have the name of our training department in the Stranger Things font.
That's what I needed.
Yeah, if you just look up Stranger Things like background generator, and then you could type in whatever you want. So if you just put the two in, it should give you at least something you could blow up.
So
yeah.
I just want to point out the fact that you are both looking
yep,
to get
yep.
Stranger Thing font
for our job.
For something yeah. work-related.
Yeah.
Needed. To the
it's necessary.
Credence of you two being the same person.
In retrospect, that wasn't the first or last time in this podcast that happened. Yeah. Yeah, you gotta have a good icebreaker. You gotta wear your... So Melanie, who was on our podcast, I don't know if you listened to that episode, a coworker of mine. She had a rotating backgrounds, Star Wars backgrounds.
Okay.
And she's like, I'm in a room with a bunch, I mean, I'm a tech trainer, so it's always a bunch of dudes. Let me just get this out up front, and then they can quiz me, and I'll pass all their stupid, you know, quizzes.
And then we can get onto it,
and they'll take me more seriously because I'm a Star Wars nerd. And I'm like, I like you. Let's be siblings, work siblings. And now we are. She actually took my place when I switched positions. Thank you, because I have a terrible fucking memory. So, yes, I remember the bookcase snooping being a moment of like, oh, yeah, because I would do the same fucking thing. I love
it when snooping and stalking becomes a way to actually form connections.
You know my wife stalked me in college, right?
Yeah.
Clearly, it I works. Have the biggest problem with it.
I think don't you start actually, stalking me. In your high school yearbook, voted most stalkable.
Most stalkable, yeah. Stalky.
And in the porn industry, I've been voted the most likely to have my ear licked by older women. A lot of people had not heard that story today. I was telling that to some friends.
Yeah, things to aspire to.
Yeah, you know? Have you had your ear deep gouged, deep throated by a porn actress? No?
Definitely not.
A little more dust off the shoulder.
And that's happened to you a couple of times now, right?
Yeah, you were there the other time.
Yeah.
And no one knew it was happening.
No.
It was during an improv show. And we had some, like, older drunk ladies. Not, like, old, just, you know, older than me. So we'll say, like...
And this was at the JCC.
This was the JCC.
The Jewish Community Center.
This was not... This was a safe space,
not a club.
This was... My Me Too moment was a safe space. It was not my only Me Too moment. I had to get audience members up to, like, give suggestions or something, right? Something
sure, like that. Yeah.
It's like a posing game or one of those. And this woman's like... Oh, I'll do it. And I'm like, well, she seems fun. All right. So I went and got her in the audience. And it's like dark in the audience because the lights are on the stage. She can't really see what's happening to me. And we got the scene started. And I could tell she was drunk. I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have picked her. But I was able to extract what I needed to get the scene started. So all the attention is up there. And all of a sudden, she's just like, my name's Carol. And it was the same year. That was the fucked up part.
That's the good ear, at least, you know.
It's a 50-50. It must be the tastiest.
True. I guess what I got to do is go get my ear like one more time and then see, like, okay, is it always going to be this?
Three for three, yeah.
That is statistically significant. No,
it's not. Maybe we should ask every guest, would you please pick an ear on mic?
If you had a deep gouge, one of my ears with your tongue, what should you pick?
I'm going to at least need to start flicking a little bit and get a sense of the lobes. How are the lobes?
Do you have any literature I can warm up with first?
Matt, have you had your ear licked by a stranger?
Or a friend?
Ooh, by a stranger? No. By a friend? I believe so.
I got some squeaks.
Squeaks?
That's just your ear,
the
Jeeps. Man.
The Jeeps. The creeps. I can't even do it. Michael Winslow.
So no,
the
raspberry. So that's 1 point of difference between the two of you.
Reached stranger status yet.
It's important that we find these little differences.
That's
make
right.
Sure.
Otherwise, we won't know. When they find our charred remains. I mean,
Mike's like, I don't know. I was barely able to tell them apart before. No.
Officer,
these
look.
Corpses are the same. I don't know. It's just one
Which
person.
Which one seems to have more ear moisture? Come on, get the ME out.
Look
here.
At these corpses. Does one of these four ears look more lickable than the rest?
One brain and two bodies.
We were floating around these orbits, and I think we both were like, yeah, you seem cool. We should hang out. But then, like, I think I moved away first.
Down to New York City. Yeah.
And then I moved back.
And then I moved away.
And then you graduated and moved away.
Yeah, to Chicago.
Into Chicago. And then from there and then I moved back. Okay, yep. Well, I moved to New York City again. And then we actually probably hung out more since we both moved away from Rochester.
Yeah.
So wait, were you taking improv classes in Chicago?
I was not.
Oh, okay.
I know. Another point of difference. How did you go to Chicago without taking improv?
Yeah, I know. That's weird. How did you avoid that?
It's almost it's really hard.
Requirements, stamp your card.
I thought someone shot at you and you took an improv class. That is Chicago.
You signed the apartment lease and part of that is you will take improv classes.
Like Del Close is just in.
Or you forfeit your space. No, I am excited though because one of the people I respect the most from my Chicago days followed her passion she quit her job. She was making boatloads of money consulting.
I do want to talk about your job too because it's very interesting. But anyway, go ahead.
Quit her job to be a stand-up comedian.
Ooh. Damn. That's
And now she does not have boatloads of money.
Well, I have no idea what her reserves are, but she's still following the dream, so she hasn't given up yet.
That's cool.
And yeah, it's really cool. She's been all over the country lately, and
wow. So how long has she been at it?
A couple of years, at least 3-4 years.
That's, I mean, for, she's touring.
Yeah, she's touring.
That's pretty good for three. She must be good.
Yeah,
three or four years to get a tour is that's nothing to sneeze at. I knew a lot of stand-up comics in New York, and very few of them were getting tours.
Yeah, she's actually coming to Boston. So I've been down in Memphis for the last 3 years. So not in, you know, she is touring, but she's not on the kind of tour that would come to Memphis.
So wait, you've been living in Memphis?
Yeah, for the last 3 years. Yeah, he's been
walking on the streets of Memphis.
I've taken a loop. So when I left Rochester, the real brief version is 3 years in Chicago, 3 years in Memphis, and now 6 months up in Boston.
Okay.
So now that I'm up in the northern part of the country,
yeah,
where I'm from. So I feel back at home. Now I'm in her touring belt, and she's actually coming to Boston in the near future. So
that's awesome. What kind of venues is she playing?
Lots of different venues, some comedy clubs, bars, yeah, you know, all different types of places.
Nice. That is especially interesting because I was born in Memphis, so I have kind of a connection to that part of the country.
Yeah, and I was just down there recently, back in Tennessee, and I'm actually in Tennessee like every other week now for work.
Ah. But just Memphis, or did you go to Nashville at all? Or?
Mostly Memphis. I've been to Nashville because it's the next city over.
You don't really want to go farther east than Nashville.
Well, the last time I was in Memphis...
Because then you get to Knoxville, and you're like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I went to Gatlinburg for the first time.
Yeah, okay.
Not what I was expecting. It doesn't really feel like... It feels more like a movie set than a city, but...
How's that?
Well, that's where Dollywood is, right?
It's... So...
Pigeon Forge is close.
Yeah, the next town over. But I felt the same way I felt the first time I drove into Pittsburgh.
Okay.
From the south. So it's basically woods, 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 not a soul to be seen. And then you burst through this mountainside immediately into a city. And it's like, this seems like it was planted here for no reason whatsoever. And I
shall put Pittsburgh, fuck it.
Right, I don't know where it came from. And that's kind of how Gatlinburg felt. Like, this is literally nobody would live within thousands of miles of here. And then all of a sudden, there's Gatlinburg. This weird, like, Vegas-style strip or Beale Street-style strip. And I'm like, this is... The whole city is just a strip.
Yeah,
it's very strange.
It's funny because that's kind of what... That's, like, the sort of cities I'm used to. It's like, when the first time I went to, like, a real city, like Boston, New York City, Manhattan.
Like a northeast city?
It was, like...
With, like, neighborhoods.
I can see it, and we're not there. What the hell is going on? How can it be that big?
Were they hiding them? Like, I can't. That's all I know.
Little bubbles of space. Gatlinburg exists in isolation.
Sphere of invisibility.
So, yeah, I'm in Tennessee quite a bit.
That's cool. Have you been to the Rendezvous?
The Rendezvous. Yes, I definitely have. I was torn, though, because this is, like, one of the most hyped barbecue places in Memphis.
It is. Okay.
Which is known for
that
barbecue.
And I went there as a child. I mean, it's been there forever.
It's an institution.
Yes.
The first time I went there were the worst ribs I've ever had in my life.
Like, the way they were cooked, the sauce, what? Meat?
The way they were cooked. Oh,
that hurts.
So, they're one of these places that closes between lunch and dinner.
Okay.
To prepare themselves. And obviously, we didn't know that, so we showed up in that gap period where you're not allowed to eat anything or even come inside. But it was close, so we were like 20 minutes before they opened for dinner.
Okay.
But since we were there early, we were the first people in line, and we got the first ribs out of the oven, I imagine, and they were so tough.
So they were probably leftovers from
lunch
or days ago.
Or they weren't even ready yet. Like, my impression was that they weren't cooked enough.
Okay.
They were given to us because, somebody showed up too early. And just give them whatever we got. And these uncooked ribs. And so it was tough. It was so
probably
tough.
Not.
It was, yeah. It's going to be fine. Except it's not going to be delicious or fall off the bone.
Yeah.
Tender.
That's.
So I had written them off as the most overrated place I had ever been for food. And I only went back because somebody else had decided to go there before they were leaving. And I'm like, all right, yeah, I guess
I'll
meet you.
So you had a rendezvous.
I had a rendezvous at
rendezvous.
Rendezvous.
Okay.
Yes.
And it's...
And it was wonderful the second time.
Well, there you go.
So all of this, I've had this such a mental block on rendezvous. Like, come on. Come on, don't even say the name Rendezvous. It's garbage. It's overrated. Who are you? What are you, a tourist? And then I go back. I'm like, oh shit, this is really good. So, everything I thought I knew has been blown up. So
part of the attraction or appeal of the Rendezvous is, I would say like 60% is where it is, where you go to get to it, and like,
yeah, the alley.
You like have to go into an alley.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you're like, where are we? If somebody takes you to the Rendezvous, you're like, okay, you're gonna fucking mug me, aren't you? You're taking me down here, and I'm gonna die now.
And I was never seen again.
So you go into the doors, and you go downstairs.
Killer. Room.
Where they keep the bodies, yeah.
It's cooler and down there. And it's like this really cool place down there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's got a really good atmosphere.
Yeah.
Probably the best atmosphere of any barbecue place in Memphis.
And that's probably like 60 to 70% of its appeal, I think.
Yeah.
But the food is good.
Depending on when you go.
Had you had a bad experience there, Smeg?
No. I've always had pretty good experiences there. I mean, I was like I said, I was a kid when I remember going there years and years and years ago.
Mm.
And they had they had parrots or something, like live parrots.
Oh.
And down
barbecued pork, barbecued parrots.
Well, no, take but they pick. It was in the 70s or 80s maybe. There was a big fire there, and the whole place got burned out. And I guess the parrots died in the fire. So that was kind of a...
Wow.
That was kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm even mentioning that.
Hey, Debbie Downer.
I'm just saying that when I was a kid, about 90% of the attraction was the parrots there.
Okay, and then they died horribly in the fire.
Yes, and they died horribly in the fire.
Wow, thanks.
And I went back later and was like, okay, the food's actually not too bad.
But don't most of their animals die horribly in the fire?
Yeah.
Delicious fires. Delicious. I mean, oh, we accidentally roasted these parrots. What do we do?
Gary, get the sauce.
You never know till you try.
So, Matt, what do you do?
I would say generally I do science.
Okay.
This is what I'm classically trained to do.
This is a very skeleton of a cadaver way of saying it. Yes, you do science.
Yeah, I do science.
Well, that's exciting.
Virology focused originally.
Whoa.
Yeah, so, I knew it was going to be impressive.
Both virology in grad school. And then what I was really excited about was when I was doing my postdoc, it was about editing viral DNA.
So you're either going to save the world or destroy it, is what we're hearing here.
Which ties together my two passions.
Saving the world and destroying.
Tie them together and I'm set.
In retrospect, there were many red flags during this podcast episode, but I only realized them when it was too late during editing.
Foreshadowing, 20 years later. The world is a barren wasteland.
And then Matt pulled out the vial and said, by the way, I have a sample I want to share with you.
It's odorless, tasteless, isn't that what the guy says in 12 Monkeys? So, editing viral DNA.
Yeah, basically I was trying to GFP tag, so fluorescently label some viral proteins.
Obviously, I mean, that was my assumption.
So we could track, you know, we're trying to track virus in the body. It was measles, okay. So why not make some genetically modified measles? Seemed like a good idea at the time.
So many red flags, so many. Are you the plague carrier? So, stuff's coming back, right?
I've seen this movie and it doesn't
end. I know, so far, yeah. Multiple times. I read these
books. The Stand.
So, some shit's coming back, right?
Yeah, I mean, things are coming back. There's new things. There's Zika. Mm. So, there's always a need for virology in my mind. It's exciting. I still, you know, to this day, I think it's the most interesting part of biology. This eternal struggle we've had with these viruses and bacteria, it's a good story, if nothing else.
So, yeah, we were even talking about Zika recently.
Yeah.
As you were, like, looking for destination vacations.
My mother-in-law just got this bug in her head. Maybe it's a virus.
Yeah,
it's like, I need to take my entire family to a tropical beach destination. So we, like, none of us want to go to California. So we're like, we need to go somewhere interesting. And when you start looking at the tropical stuff, Zika, because Eric and I were trying to have another kid, really narrows the field on where you can go. And Bermuda, it was like Bermuda and the Cayman Islands are all that's left right now. And the Caymans are, you know, where certain presidents and their lawyers launder their money. And it's very expensive. So Bermuda was all that was left.
And Zika's like really particularly awful, right? Because it's like you might not even know if you have it until you get pregnant.
Until
and
have a baby and there's like
problems. Yep.
Yeah, but I mean, so the thing about Zika that I don't understand is, like, countries live with it. And, like, there are children born with normal heads.
Yeah, I mean, much like the rest of the world is living with tuberculosis. And, okay, you know, so it's not great.
Right.
But you can only do as much as you can afford to do, unfortunately.
Okay.
So what I do, so that's sort of what I did. What I do currently is work to develop diagnostic assays for, at this point, tick-borne diseases. So, especially having moved back up to the Northeast, where ticks are popular. Mm-hmm. Last year was the tick-pocalypse.
Yeah.
It was?
So, yeah.
We had warnings at daycare.
I don't have a kid, so I don't know.
So prepare yourself.
Yeah.
If you're frolicking in the high grass, prepare yourself.
Was it because it was such a mild winter?
Always wears linen.
Yeah.
So I think he's okay. He wears linen pants constantly.
Well, they can climb legs.
Yeah, but
I mean,
shorts in the woods are the problem. We got to note that
these aren't cinched. Yeah, there's a lot of ticks.
They aren't cinched at the cuff.
I'm just saying, you're less likely to get a tick.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. So there was a tick-pocalypse.
Tick-pocalypse. And from everything I see, it's supposed to be just as bad this year. And we're right about it.
So what's common? What's behind that? Is it weather?
Climate stuff. We've had relatively mild winters. That allows a longer tick season.
Hmm.
And, you know, you get a lot of people out hunting, so you get kind of waves. So as soon as it's nice out, people are outside, so you get a nice... It basically starts now-ish, April, May.
Huh, okay.
And people are out wandering around, you know, depending on the specific tick-borne disease.
Mm-hmm.
Depends if it's sort of... Most of them are here, so all of them are here, essentially.
Great. Okay, so that's great. For some reason, the phrase... Rocky Mountain Scarlet Fever is
spotted
in my head.
Fever.
Spotted fever, okay. Yep.
And it's terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah.
At least for children, I know it's terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, the one that's kind of the hot button issue at the moment is Powassan. Because, so the biggest one,
Is what?
Powassan virus. So it's actually a virus.
That's not really rolling off the tongue.
Prepare yourself.
You need more branding for
prepare
this.
Prepare yourself.
We're going to be saying it a lot.
So there's, you know, there's a lot of different tick-borne diseases.
Well, everyone thinks of Lyme disease.
But yeah, there's only one big one, which is Lyme disease. Mm-hmm.
And that affects every person differently, right?
Well, there's a lot of commonalities. I mean, there are different ways it can manifest, and there are, you know, there's sort of a controversy in the field as to whether there's a thing called chronic Lyme disease or not.
Where it doesn't go away?
Yeah, you get other sort of arthritic type manifestations.
Okay.
So
and that's kind of scary that there's a disease that people even really still aren't sure of how much it does or what it does.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of diseases. We're not really sure exactly.
Yeah,
what
I feel like describing a lot of micro shit.
But you know, Lyme's the big one.
Mm.
But so one of the
oasis?
So with Lyme, it takes a while to transmit. So as long as the tick is attached to you, it's got to be there for a day or even 2 days before you actually get it.
It's got to get to know you.
Yeah. You got to get intimate. You got to swap fluids.
It's not just, you know, like a one-night stand disease. It's
not just a simple licking of the ear.
Yeah. That's how it starts. That's how it always starts.
Always.
But Powassan, you know, just in a couple of hours can transmit to you. So
what is...
Well, it's a virus instead of a bacteria, but it transmits more quickly. And that's what's so scary, because if you're out wandering around in a field, it might be hours before you get home, find out you have a tick.
And then it's too late.
Whereas with Lyme, you know, you just take it off and you're probably fine.
So what exciting symptoms and stuff do we have to look forward to with Powassan?
Powassan, yeah.
Powassan.
The fun thing you have to look forward to is neurologic issues.
Oh yeah, nice.
So
yikes.
There's that. There's that. That's
permanent?
That's the carrot at the end of the stick, yeah.
Head west, young man. I mean east. I mean, I'm a voice in your head. So is it something that's just permanent neurological damage?
Yeah, if it's not caught, it can be. So, you know.
So what's the good news?
So the good news is what we do is try to develop these assays, not to prevent it, not to cure it, but just really to identify it, to diagnose it. So that's what we do. Is develop assays to diagnose these so that the doctor can treat you more quickly so that it doesn't progress.
Okay. So something with that that's viral, that's the point. Like, you can't take, obviously there's no antibiotics for a virus.
Yeah, and for most of these tick-borne diseases, it's a simple case of just take antibiotics.
Wow.
Like that most septin, so whatever, and most of the tick-borne diseases
are bacterial.
Are bacterial.
Wow. Okay, that's good news.
Yeah. Well, so that's the issue, is that it's generally just treated by, oh, you have these symptoms, just take it.
There seems to be a lot of that in the medical field.
So yeah. The Powassan seems like...
Don't worry about superbugs.
Something that, yeah, that
just
can...
take your antibiotics.
Take
all
your
the way.
Antibiotics. Distribute them to your friends.
Don't stop taking them until the 10 days is over.
At least for the time being, is just gonna. It sounds like it could slip by undiagnosed because people are like, oh, you got bit by a tick. Here's your antibiotics. You're done.
Is yep. Powassan, does it manifest very distinctly, or is it like everything?
Oh,
else?
Oh yeah, a lot of them have these vague. Symptoms.
Oh, yeah, this is why being a parent on the internet is fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
Oh, my kid could have a cold or scurvy or the plague. They all apparently manifest.
Could be
the
plague. Yeah. So yeah, that's the issue. We're focused on that sort of at the moment.
Hey, guess what, Mike? Give your Debbie Downer crown to Matt, please.
I.
And then barbecue you. Parrots. If totally it fits so well. Which means it would fit my head well. Wow.
Ooh.
Anywho.
So do like, do you and your coworkers watch Outbreak and like cheer? Do you turn into a drinking game?
Yeah. Well, that's the other half of my passion is the
chasing monkeys. Outbreak. Have you ever
the movie
chased
Outbreak.
A monkey?
I have chased monkeys.
That's awesome.
Yes. Well, I tried to. So here's the thing.
Wait, what?
The one time I went to Costa Rica, I had one goal. I was there for a week. Yeah, beaches, mountains. All right, who cares? Who gives a shit? I have one goal, which is to see a wild monkey. Yeah. And I had planned. We had a plan to go up this volcano and find the monkey reserve. I don't know if that counts as a wild monkey, but it was a monkey nonetheless, and it was going to count.
It's a reserved monkey.
It's a reserved, yeah, sure. Semi-wild monkey.
It's just finally aged.
Except it was too cloudy that day, too rainy, some bullshit.
The monkeys give a shit if it's too cloudy?
Well, the tour guides do.
Oh.
The monkeys don't.
Monkeys
don't
will
care.
Fling their shit no matter what the season.
I can see the monkeys are like, ugh, God, it was supposed to be nice out today.
I wanted to primp and look good for these tourists, but they won't even see me.
They won't even see me.
They're not going to get any vitamin D out of this. No.
Yeah, so the one time I went to find monkeys... I couldn't find them.
If it makes you feel better, Erica was in Costa Rica on like a total random on the whim trip a year and a half ago, and she saw monkeys or she heard them. But the one thing she wanted to do was go scuba diving, and it was like a hurricane, like right offshore, so she couldn't go scuba diving. So apparently, Costa Rica is just a constant string of disappointments for everyone.
Yes.
Or just Costa Rica likes to fuck with people.
Yeah, take your pick. Which wild card are you getting?
Column A, column B. Do you want to do something in Costa Rica? Go fuck yourself.
And all of this stuff ties back to Jurassic Park for me.
Of course.
Ooh.
So it's the reason...
Ian Malcolm.
It's the reason I do science. It's the reason I like Costa Rica. It's the reason I write. All because of Jurassic Park.
Wait, Isla Nublar is in...
Off the coast of
Costa Rica, yeah.
And also,
wow.
The first scene of Jurassic Park takes place on Costa Rica, on the beach, when the... When the girl gets bit by the compi?
She dies.
No, she doesn't die.
She gets eaten.
No, she does not get eaten. She gets bit.
She gets eaten.
Her arm is covered in bites.
Yeah.
And saliva.
They swarm her.
In the movie, they swarm her. In the book, they do.
Oh, I'm just talking the movie.
Yeah. In the book, she just gets bit. She goes to the hospital. She draws a picture of it, and they say, well... You're a silly little girl.
Right.
Lizards don't have three toes. They don't walk on their hind legs. And she's like, well, that's what I saw. And they're like, you're just a silly little girl.
They actually did darken up the movie and a couple times.
Yeah.
Like, Muldoon didn't die in the book, if I recall. The whole clever girl, which is a great scene, but he's like,
yeah.
Clever girl.
Yep.
That doesn't happen in the book.
Hmm.
But John Hammond does die.
John Hammond does die.
He's a douchebag in the book.
Yep.
He's just in it for the money. And they turn him into, like, this paternal figure. I'm sorry, go on. Yeah, I read Jurassic Park 4 times, so yeah, totally on board.
Yeah.
Fucking love the book.
Me
so
too.
I have now
read it 27 times.
You have read it 27 times?
27 times.
Oh,
now, okay, so let's go back a bit. Now I understand why you've done fucking nothing else to completion, because you're probably like, oh, Alter Carbon's good. Oh, it's been 2 weeks. Sorry, everybody, don't call me for a week. I got to read Jurassic Park again. Sorry, I'll be a little out of touch.
Yeah, I just recently picked it up on audiobook.
Of course you did.
Oh no!
It's like the modern age. Yeah, I'm still stuck at when I was 9 when the book came out.
It's a horror. So here's there's a really funny graphic someone posted on Facebook recently. And it's just a simple chart. And it goes, the times in your life when you know the most about dinosaurs.
Yep.
And there's only 3 periods in it. It's 4 years old, spike. When you become a paleontologist, smaller spike. And then when you have a 4-year-old.
When
and
your kid, yeah.
Equally
yeah.
high spike.
Yep.
And I will tell you that every fucking thing I knew about dinosaurs, utterly inaccurate now.
Yep.
In the 30
odd years. Times have changed.
Yeah, they have feathers. They're smaller. Raptors are dumb as shit now. All sorts of
things. I think every like 5 or 6 years that happens.
Yeah. Someone's like, oh, by the way, everything you knew about dinosaurs was wrong.
Reset.
They
reset
haven't changed
dinosaur,
at all.
Yeah.
They've been the same for in the ground for 100 some odd million years, but we keep getting them wrong. So, I'm sorry, please elaborate. So, you read your... So, okay, so you're young Matt. You're how old the first time you read it?
8 or 9.
Read
when
it
first
or
came out.
It?
I read it before the movie came out a couple times.
Nerd, okay.
And then it really became big for me the summer I was 10 when I went to Italy. I was an introvert. I'm still an introvert.
You went to Italy when you were 10?
Well, my mom's Italian.
That's... Okay, that's still kind of... That seemed like it'd be an overwhelming experience.
Yeah, it was overwhelming. That's why I just read Jurassic Park like 4 times.
Overwhelming?
In like one summer I read...
Shit.
Well, here's the other thing is I didn't realize at the time I needed glasses. So as we're...
Your eyesight has been a major thing in your life.
Yeah, we're traversing this wonderful like scenery you know,
Italy's so
the
beautiful.
Mountains of Italy, the beaches. I'm like, yeah, this is giving me a headache. I'm just going to read my book.
It's like green blurs. Can we go inside?
Yeah, can I just read, please?
Oh, no.
It's hot outside. Can I just read?
Italy is. You've been back, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so
it's wonderful.
That's why I love Blood and Wine with The Witcher.
Yep.
Because it's essentially Italy. And I'm like, I'm in Italy again. I'm on my honeymoon, but killing monsters. Anyway, go on. So you're 10 years old. You are reading it.
Reading it and rereading it.
Over and over
and
again.
It, you know, it just kind of sunk.
See your surroundings.
It's basically what, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to be when I was, you know, even extrapolate the next 8 years, you know, as I'm graduating high school at 18, I'm like, what do I want to do?
You wanted to create dinosaurs.
Shit, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. What, I guess I like math and English the most, but
dinosaurs.
Science is the most interesting, so that's what I'm going to do.
They made Jeff Goldblum sexy, for God's sakes. Clearly that's a worthwhile profession. Wow.
Complete tangent. I heard like a minute of a video on YouTube. It's just Jeff Goldblum's like size.
Isn't that the one your wife sent on?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good for about a minute.
It's like the equivalent of Owen Wilson going, "Wow."
Yeah.
Wow.
Related tangent, I spent all of my wife's the day before my wife's birthday or whatever was the day that the Target exclusive Jeff Goldblum, Wounded Ian Malcolm, Jurassic Park Funko Pop was coming out. Spent
yes.
the entire day, I refreshed the page over 200 times. Could not get it. Told my wife, because she has said at one point once, like, oh, this is cool, because she doesn't like Funko. And I like told her dejectedly, I tried to get you the Ian Malcolm. She's like, wait, what? Like, remember the thing? She's like, why would I want that? Fucking damn it.
I've had a weird affinity for shirtless men between Ian Malcolm... Being shirtless and sexy.
There's some context missing here. Okay.
And I have a T-shirt and really wanted to buy a poster at some point. There's an episode of Seinfeld with George.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and he's on the couch, like chest forward, shirtless.
The boudoir mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah. It's just random that these are two shirtless men that I need to have on my wall. I don't know why.
There's nothing wrong with celebrating these. Admittedly... I'm just going to say this. I think the male physique is a lot more awkward looking.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the female, I think, like, women look better naked than men, no matter how good or bad a shape you're in. So, like, I get it, but it's more of a car crash kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like...
No matter how you cut it, a naked man is dangling.
There's dangling, and there's always posturing.
Dangling, there's
men
hair,
don't ever
there's
look
bulges.
They never seem to be at ease. Like, men are like, yeah, I have no clothes on. I am completely okay with this. It's always like, flex! Look at the flexing, not the sucking in! So Jurassic Park puts you
on
the career path.
It's been very influential in my life.
That's cool, and it's cool that you recognize that, because I think that happens to a lot of people, and I don't think a lot of people ever really stop and think about it.
Well, it's one thing I think about a lot in my life, actually, which
is... Well, obviously, you've read it 27 times.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think about it a lot because I'm reading it a lot.
There must be some introspection involved in this, yes.
And one thing I found really interesting is the way that my relatability to the characters changes as I've aged.
Okay, talk about that.
So, one example. When I was young, I remember being, like, offended when they talked about the kid's watch, Tim's watch. Mm-hmm. He's got, like, a calculator watch, and they talk about it having a rubber band and it being, like, a cheap throwaway watch. And I was like, well, my watch has a rubber band and it's got a calculator.
And I'm also
this
a
isn't
kid.
Cheap at all.
Fuck
this
you,
is like
dude.
This is an awesome watch. And then as I grew up, I'm like, well, yeah, obviously nobody would wear that. No self-respecting adult would wear a calculator watch.
And then they came back for like a year, and yeah. Then you're like, oh no, they're cool again.
But like just like that, like when I was young, obviously I identified with Tim.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a little different the way they portray the two kids in the between the movie and the book.
Well, Alan Grant.
And you're wearing a watch right now. And what do we have here?
Mike's a watch guy.
What we have is the second Swatch. So this is my brand. Okay. I own three Swatches. My first one died because it was a composite rubber and metal band.
Whoa. That sounds bad.
That's
yeah, it was fantastic, except that I keep my watches for a long time. I like to keep things and repair them and keep them for a long time. And slowly the metal rods wore through the rubber, so I kept using the replacements.
Yeah, that's a design flaw right there.
Yep. Yeah. Good. This was the watch I bought to replace that one, thinking, well, this is metal ones. I'll use a combination of metal and rubber, except this one doesn't fit. It doesn't have the same spacing as the original one. So the original one slowly died, and now it sits in a box. This is the one I bought, so I've had this watch for probably 15 years.
Wow. Okay. That's dedication.
It hasn't worked in about 4 months because the battery's dead.
So you're wearing a non-functional
but
watch.
Yes.
Okay.
I must, because I took it off for a day, and I'm like, my arm is like floating around. It's too light. I've conditioned my body to know what the counterweight is of this left
it's
arm.
It's like
that
the
I...
office gag where he puts like one more coin
in
his
phone. And then he takes
day.
It out.
He takes it out and he collects it.
Yeah, exactly. I've used this left arm as it exists for years, like it is, with a watch on it. So if I take the watch off, I don't know what I'm doing with it anymore.
Okay, have you ever read any D&D novels? Did you read any of the old stuff? Salvatore? Drizzt?
Bits and pieces. I own a lot of it now because I found an army veteran who took a lot of these books on trips with him into the desert, read them, and then boxed them. And then this was done up when I was down in Memphis. He decided, I'm trying to get married. I need to get rid of all my crap. I bought 250 books from him.
Again, they're not finishing your TV show.
Yeah, this is the problem.
No. So much sense.
250 novels.
Who buys 250 novels in one go?
For $100.
Okay, that's
we're talking like 40 cents a book here.
Yeah.
For hard, I mean, the sheer
mostly hardcovers.
Bargain, yeah.
Yeah,
that's hard to that's hard to get around. Yeah.
I'm still at the point where like, should I offload all the stuff I'm pretty sure I'm never going to be able to read and just keep like he had a lot of Ender's Game series that I hadn't read because I've only read the first one like. A few times, but I've never read anything.
Ender's Game.
Yeah, Ender's Game. I've read.
So there are two
paths.
Two
yeah,
very
Beans
different.
Path.
Beans Path is like very easy to read. Speaker for the Dead, like it gets too deep at times, and there are times you're like, "Look, I'm smart. I fucking get it." But Card, you need to get off your own fucking fumes at some point because this is a little much. Like, can we speed this up a tiny bit? And then Bean, you're like, "Okay, pump the brakes a little bit." Like, this is weird.
Yeah, so all of those books came in as well, and a bunch of like Star Wars novels that I had wanted to read. So.
Oh, they're all Apocrypha now. The Legends,
yeah.
The Legends universe.
Yeah.
I'm convinced the only good stuff is the Zahn stuff. But my whole point with there's the thing where he gets Drizzt. This is like a very... So you remember the different realms of D&D? Like Forgotten Realms, Dragonlance, Smike?
No.
No?
I was not into that.
Yeah, see, I had a weird thing.
I had a weird relationship with D&D, but go ahead.
D&D in general. I think I would say, up until about 5 years ago, I didn't like fantasy.
Wow.
Which is a weird thing to say.
Yeah, it is.
But essentially, it was Game of Thrones that got me back into it. Game of Thrones.
Wow.
And what's the big video game series?
The Witcher?
No, the other one.
Elder
Skyrim?
Scrolls?
Nope.
Dragon Age?
Yeah, Dragon Age.
Mm-hmm.
So I love Dragon Age.
The first one was amazing.
First one was amazing, and I have a weird excess of respect for the second one.
Some people like certain games.
I really
like
the second one. I thought it was a bold move to be less dramatic or less broad with
that's
the scope of it.
That's just BioWare. Yeah. They did the same thing with Mass Effect. Mass Effect 2 played like a fucking arcade game. The first one was like super dense and deep. Anyway, go on, sorry.
Yeah.
Rant, that was a... I reverted a rant. Come on.
Good.
That's impressive.
Detour. Swerve.
So... anyway, so TSR had realms. So they had, you know, the planescape, which I feel like you've talked about in the past.
Yeah, Torment. Maybe.
So Forgotten Realms...
Who knows what comes out of this mouth?
So Forgotten Realms is my jam. Forgotten Realms was the most Tolkien-esque one. And one of the most popular characters in the novels and some of the, you know, adventure modules was Driz Doradin, a dark elf, who was good. And at one point he gets these bands that speed up and give him a plus whatever. They don't say it like that in the novels. Like it's a plus
that's what
five
it
to agility, but it's just, it's a, you know, makes your hands move fast bands. but there's a thing where he like puts him on for the first time and then someone throws him something and he like hits himself in the head because he tries to catch it and his hand moves
too
fast.
This is the first try, not used to it.
Like the super nerdy 12-year-old. I was pen pals with the author. Complaining about how I had no friends. Oh yeah. Oh, I was that kid. But that, like, so, you know, the office will be the first thing I'll say, but the first thing I'll think is this obscure one, like, paragraph, like, one, two-sentence reference in this novel I read when I was, like, 12.
Mm.
But, wow, you didn't like fantasy for a while.
Yeah, I was really more on the sci-fi side of things.
Okay, which, yeah, I get that.
And I don't think I really had a lot of exposure to fantasy other than the 80s fantasy movies.
Which were not great. By and large.
Yeah, which were
the Beastmaster.
It's their own brand of fantasy.
It was cheese. Everything in the 80s was cheesy. Yeah. Comic book movies were cheesy. The fantasy movies were cheesy. Sci-fi did okay, but thanks
to
things like
Star Wars. I'm not sure what would have been even my other exposure to fantasy early. I don't think I had much. I read some of the Magic the Gathering novels.
Okay.
They were corny.
I don't know how good they were.
They're popcorn at best.
A lot of TSR.
Not of my time. Sorry.
Yeah, we get it. We're 10 years younger than you. All right.
I'm trying to think what else even would have been my exposure to fantasy.
But yeah, I
never had D&D.
The
80s
movies were not great. I mean, there was a time when like they were just trying to cash in on, but the people making these movies didn't like understand anything.
Yeah.
No. Oh no. Did you read? There was a really great article. I don't know if I posted it about the Mario Brothers movie.
No.
There was this really, you should look it up, it's this really great article. It just came out that's like a retrospective where they interview people and they talk to. And like, there's a subset of visual folks who are super proud that they worked on that movie because it was cutting edge.
And they're the only ones.
They're the only ones. But everything about the movie was made by a duo, like a husband and wife, music video director duo who like were way in over their heads.
And probably then, didn't really understand the game.
No, they did. And so the people who optioned the rights, people who wanted the option of the rights originally were like, we want to make straight up, like, we play the game. We want to make that. Mm-hmm. And then, like, Nintendo got pitched this thing by this, like, this artsy music video people. Like, we want to do this dark, gritty, neo-gothic, like, cyber steampunky kind of thing. And they're like, and Nintendo's like, Miyamoto's like, let's do that. Because they had no skin in the game. They were like, nothing you do is going to hurt our brand. We don't give a shit. And we're just curious. And because you notice, Nintendo is not synonymous with, like, TV and movies.
Right.
You know?
Which is weird. I read a book last year called, like, How Mario Conquered America,
mm-hmm.
which was an interesting read of just how they decided to get over here and the issues they had with distributing arcade cabinets and just how they kind of formed their brand.
Which is probably very deliberate.
Yeah, deliberate, but sort of uneven.
Okay.
It, you know, they're trying to retrofit old cabinets that didn't sell, and they're like, let's do this. And, you know, it was
like going back to, like, Donkey Kong?
All the way back to Donkey Kong.
And that was in the news recently. Did you catch that?
Oh, yeah.
No. Was it
disqualified.
What's his name?
The King of Kong guy?
Yeah. Disqualified. DQ'd.
Yeah.
Fuck, I liked him in that.
The guy with the beard. The guy with the beard.
He's and the Jesus hair.
He's the protagonist of King of Kong.
Really the protagonist, though? Because he's such a douche in that.
Yeah, apparently he was. Apparently it came out that he was using modified software, not the original software. So all of his like high scores are eliminated.
I think he was a douche. Are we talking about the same guy?
Yeah, we are. Okay. We're talking about the same movie.
Yeah.
Same movie, but like the nice guy in the garage who was playing in his garage?
No.
The nice douchey guy.
Wait, you're saying two different people. No, the douchey guy was the long hair who was
Yeah, that's the douchey guy.
That's the guy.
He's an asshole. Yeah. Man, fuck that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck him in the ear with the old lady's tongue.
Yeah, he was the one with the records that got disqualified.
Oh, good. Yeah. The whole thing is about the other guy knocking him off and then them trying to...
And then him, like, but not showing up at the...
Not going to prove it.
Like, I don't have to prove anything. You're a dick.
Yeah.
But yes, his records were disqualified because people went over the video and they could of him, and they're like, the way that, just the way the screen transitions were moving, I think, was enough for them to say, that's not the original arcade game. Yep. That's probably MAME, but it could be something else, but it's definitely not the original arcade game. Anyway, going back to the Mario Brothers movie.
Yes. Anyway, it's a fascinating, like, shit show. Leguizamo and Mario, that actor who's a very good actor, Bob Hoskins, they were just drunk most of the time, and they were like, Bob Hoskins went on like a half day rant to have things change because the dialogue was so bad, and then like the rant went so long that he got tired of it and ended up just saying the original dialogue. Like, he just wanted to stop the production and fuck with them for like a half of a day, which, you know, is like $1 million. It's a fascinating read. So Matt, we're running, we're getting about there. I know you got drinks to go drink and people to see because you're not in town very.
They're not going
to
drink themselves.
They are not going to drink themselves.
This is a strong damn drink.
Yeah,
and it's warm in here, but I think it's also the alcohol. So, what are you watching that you think you'll complete right now? What are you into? What do you want to put out there? Anything you want to plug?
Yeah, plug away.
Well, I mean, you know, we got the Phoenix Down podcast, so.
People can just Google Phoenix Down.
Yeah, the two of us that do it. If anybody's on Twitter, at DML Fury is my co-host.
DML Fury.
Okay. And I assume that's heavily gamer oriented.
Heavily, yeah. He and I both spend most of our time on Twitter talking about all the wonders of games, TV shows, nonsense, whatever.
Well, we dabble in gamery at times, but
mostly
this is hardcore.
Well, it's more just a game club. It's not real hardcore. Neither one of us are real great at anything we do.
So you're not like Gamergate level, is what you're saying?
No, that's come up in the last week or two, but that's a story for another time. Because that's a long story.
Well, no, what I mean to say is, like, when Gamergate happened, I didn't know it was happening until Smike explained it to me, and B, I was like, wow, I'm old, because I neither understand this, I'm also embarrassed by it.
I've only really learned about it in the last couple of weeks, so maybe, we're on the same boat.
Did you read that Ready Player One article, where it's like, the movie has to overcome Gamergate, and then it breaks down Gamergate, and I'm like, oh, now it makes sense to me. No, I did understand it.
But I did recently, I just finished Felicia Day's novel.
Oh, she has a novel out?
Yeah, You're Never Weird on the Internet.
Oh,
almost.
I've never heard of that. I loved her web show.
Yeah, me too. I've always loved Felicia Day, and just finished her book, finally, even though it came out years ago. But she has a whole chapter kind of dedicated to her interactions with Gamergate.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the receiving end of it.
And then it came up again this past week at PAX East. But
like, reared its ugly head?
Yeah, that's about all I'll say of that.
So DML Fury.
At DML Fury. That's Drew. That's my co-host.
And that's your video game podcast.
Yeah, that's our Phoenix Down.
We never even talked about your other podcast.
Yeah, the other podcast, we'll save that for episode two. Recursion. It's a writing podcast.
Nice.
Been doing it for a few years. We love NaNoWriMo.
NaNoWriMo.
National Novel Writing Month.
Oh, right, sorry.
So,
I've never actually participated in it.
Been doing that. I've done that the last 7 years. The first four I failed at.
It's hard.
Two of them I was close, and then two of them I failed as hard as I've ever failed at anything in my life.
50,000 words in a month?
50,000 words in a month.
It's not easy.
So I hit about...
It's not easy.
So I hit about 30,000 the first 2 years.
Damn respectable.
About 5,000
not
the next 2 years. Pretty embarrassing. And then I said, all right, take a stance. Either you're going to do this, or you might as well stop trying. And I decided to... at that point, we also decided to start a podcast that we call AdNoWriMo, so Adventures in National Novel Writing Month.
Okay.
I've done that the last 3 years, and I've won the last 3 years.
Nice. That's awesome.
Wow.
As have, I think, both of my co-hosts, at least one of the 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So, yeah, that's been really fun. And
Do we want to say anything about what that is? Because I have no idea. You
try to write the majority of a novel in 1 month, every November.
Keep in mind, my 130 down to 120,000 word novel that took me 9 years. Obviously, there's many rewrites. Yeah, it's not easy.
No, it's not easy.
That's ridiculous. Oh my God.
I've hit 50,000 three times. So my next milestone there is to actually finish a first draft, which I've never done. Oh. Man, I've got a couple I'm working on.
You get when you finish that shit?
Yep. It's unreal. I've got a couple I'm working on. I felt real good even just hitting 50,000, but at some point, someday, I will finish a first draft, and then I'll be, you know, it's all about progressive next steps.
And then you'll leave your job.
Yeah, I'll leave my job, live the life.
You could tour with your stand-up friend.
Yeah.
You could do book signings.
Yeah.
It's a package deal. You get both of us.
This is a shitty novel that I wrote just for me, but I'll sign it if you want to read it. Yeah, but my name on Twitter is at REMGS, which are my two favorite video games, Resident Evil, Metal Gear Solid. So REMGS.
Oh, what's your next tattoo?
Next tattoo. I'm not sure I've told anybody this yet.
Oh, okay, don't say it.
No, it's fine. It's going to be the Stargate home symbol, the symbol for Earth in the Stargate universe, but it's going to be abstracted a bit. It's going to be... So the guy that I'm having do it is really big into biomechanical style art.
Mm-hmm.
Very much H.R. Geiger.
I was just going to say, that's very Geiger, right?
Yep. Yeah. So it's going to be that basic symbol, but abstracted to a point where I hope that people who don't know what it is won't ever know. And people who do get it will be like, oh, that's cool.
Just to give you an idea where my head is, whenever somebody says something about Stargate, I immediately go back to the sequel to the Defender video game, Stargate.
Oh, my God.
And that I'm, like, trying to think, what? The TV show.
Yeah,
okay.
For me, Stargate...
It was a movie, and then lots of TV shows.
Stargate is not only my favorite star show.
Star show.
It is also my favorite show, period. Stargate SG-1 has given me immense joy. It is both fun, adventurous, funny. I loved the Stargate Atlantis spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking 17 seasons of TV between all three shows. 18 if you count the new recent webisodes. I don't, but somebody might.
They're not canon.
They're not. Well, yeah, they contradict canon. And also, it's a movie split into 10 episodes. So
that's
borderline will count it. So we'll just go with the 17 episodes, 17 seasons. They're fantastic. And, certainly my favorite star show.
You just got the plug Stargate.
I always will, and I'm waiting for the next show. From all I've heard, this recent webisode series has done well enough that there's discussions as to maybe a fourth show will initiate.
It's all franchises. Chance than anything new.
Yeah.
Out. Unless Netflix just throws money at it. All right, well, we are buddies in space. You are?
That's Michael Smith. You are?
And Michael Carossi. You are?
Matthew H. Quinn.
Thank you for joining us. Take it away, Melanie.
Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books.
Yeah. Sorry it's so hot in here. I always forget. Three people get and strong drink. Three. So we need to make weaker drinks when we have three people.
Yes.
Or stronger drinks and a fan. Well, a fan might not work
fan's
recording.
Out, man, with the Yeti. It's not the best mic, but man, it picks so much.
Yeah, that's an interesting setup you have here.
I'll just add drinks.
I was looking at getting drinks.
That's your answer. Yeah.
Oh, it is a blue speaker. That's what I was going to get.
Yeah, it's just
a Yeti. Snowball is what I was going to get.
No. So I used to use the Snowball and it died. It was a great mic for the price.
Okay, that's because...
And I got the stupid ice condenser.
So they really like the ice theme. Yeti, Snowball, ice condenser.
Yeah, the ice is shit. It's a single diode. So the Snowball is a dual diode. And that's... It's about as much as two capsules, I should say. The ice is one, so it kind of sucks. And then the Yeti is fantastic. I mean, I know the H1N, you know, like super portable mic is a whole other like level. I have arguments with my audiophile like coworkers and stuff. but regardless, yeah, that's just got a. It took a standard Yeti and then I put a blue like spit filter over it, and then or a windscreen over it, and then I put the spit filter up front. But this was for work more than anything. So I do a ton of like professional recording stuff for like customer training. And this is like, you can, in post, I can get most stuff out, but not echo. There's no way.
Yep.
no algorithm. There's no way to get rid of that. So you need to soak that shit up to the point where I even bought an extra egg crate because I wanted it on the bottom. And I thought about getting another one and cutting a slit. And I'm like, it's not going to get enough of the voice. So I need to calm down a bit.
Then. Yeah.
But yeah, that booth cost $50-$60. And I think it elevated the quality of audio significantly.
Yeah. See, I wanted to do something like this, but the guy I record with is in Georgia.
Right.
I haven't met him yet.
Wow.
He was actually just this past weekend at PAX East. I got to meet the very first Twitter friend I ever had. This is another one of these passion projects that inspires me.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing non-for-profit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he came on our podcast slowly. So
remotely.
Remotely. Yeah. So, well, remotely, he was in Rochester.
Oh.
I joined Twitter. I didn't know what Twitter was about or what you would ever use it for.
I still don't.
But anyway. Yeah. So what I decided to do was what I called a MexiQuest.
which sounds vaguely racist, but...
Which was to go to every Mexican restaurant in Rochester and write a review.
That reminds me, I have an idea for a future podcast episode.
That was it. That was not... all. I'm like, I don't know what to do, but I guess... If there's 30 restaurants, I guess I've got my next 30 tweets planned.
Yeah, you've got a good plan.
And he commented, oh, you should go here, 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 here. And then as I'm starting to talk to him, turns out he likes video games. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. And
then you moved away, and then you moved back.
Well, no, this is when I was there. He actually joined the podcast. We did some podcasting with some friends I have back in Central New York. I met him and his wife and his kids, and that was great. And he went from... Just us. He went from just our Zombie Frog
podcast. Oh, the Zombie Frog, yeah.
I have a really good logo for Zombie Frog. I also like Flying Frogs and Flying Frog Games.
Flying Frog did a Zombie Frog for A Touch of Evil. So, oh, no, for Last Night on Earth. Sorry, that's what I'm thinking.
I need to see that.
It's just a frog.
Yeah, that's what I need to see.
Okay. I'll show you on your way out. Go on.
You know, inspirational because he wasn't... As far as I know, wasn't doing anything with video games at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Joined our podcast. Then joined a couple of other ones, Leapfrog. Then ended up working at Game Informer for a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and he's like a legitimate video game journalist now. It's really cool. And I haven't seen him in years because I've been traveling around, and I saw him last weekend at PAX East.
Nice.
So it was really cool to catch up with him.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Our play table was at PAX East.
Followed his dream.
In the flesh.
They were. I'm still skeptical.
Read the emails, Mike.
I know. I've been reading.
I know it's been delayed for a year and a half, but it's coming out. Damn it. I paid them a lot of money.
I know. I'm skeptical because adding blockchain to the name of your product is just kind of like investor bait at this point.
Yeah, as long as it gets the shit made.
As long as it gets the investors. Job done.
Yeah.
A little comment.